It's time for the second hour of the Futures.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, folks. Welcome back to the second hour. This hour is going to be a little different. We're going to focus not so much on outer space, but inner space in this hour. We're going to be speaking with Mark Hastings, who's a doctor of chiropractic in Aptos and recently wrote the book called The Well of Truth, which is essentially about how our thoughts create our experience of reality. And how does that actually work? And whether or not we can make ourselves a better reality by changing our thoughts. Welcome, Mark.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I'm really excited to be here.
Good, good. So you really believe that everything we're experiencing is something that we can change by changing our thoughts?
Well, first, let's just say that everything that everyone is experiencing is nothing more than a reaction to their own thought.
A reaction, like a feedback.
It's an emotional reaction primarily to whatever they're thinking, and that everyone's reality is the thought that they're thinking right now. And that can change at any time.
I've usually made the distinction between perception and reality so that we can talk about what's inside your mind and your conscious control and what's outside your mind and your conscious control and is in the shared world that everybody is experiencing. Right?
Can you make that into a question?
Well, when you talk about changing reality, I just feel like that's using that word a little imprecisely. We want to talk about changing
your perception of reality or changing
perceptions
reality.
And letting your perceptions act.
I love this story about my friend Jerry. He's a philosopher, local philosopher, and he's a really smart guy. And he came to me one day and he said, "Mark, what is reality?" And I said, "Jerry, reality is what you think it is." And he goes, "That's why I want to interrupt and argue with you." And I said, "Okay, well, before you interrupt and argue with me, can I ask you two questions?" And he says, "Sure." And I said, "Jerry, do you remember when your first wife left you and how that was the worst thing that ever happened to you?" And he said, "Yes, I do." And I said, "Do you remember when it was the best thing that ever happened to you?" Now he's, of course, remarried. And that's, you're right, it's a perception. But it's your thought. It's what you're thinking about it. And everything is thought. Every great invention that you're always talking about, Alan, everything all starts with thought. That the thought is the most powerful force on earth. But more back to your question, can we control our thought? Can we choose thoughts that will give us the realities or the perceptions?
You said good thoughts create desirable circumstances, bad thoughts create undesirable circumstances.
That have a purpose to teach you the difference between right and wrong.
So how come, as a culture, we haven't cultivated an awareness of that seemingly simple truth yet?
Well, you know, that's the human condition. That's, you know, people say, "Well, why are we here? What, you know, what are we on the planet to do?" And I believe that we are on the planet to learn the truth and how to think and to help others, to do good, to do right. And everybody knows that when you do something kind to help somebody, it feels good. But yet people are out there cutting people off in traffic and doing all these behaviors. And why are they doing them? And more importantly, what is that doing for them? Does that make them feel good? Does that give them the true rudiments of success?
That's a good question, especially, I don't know if you guys were paying attention to the news during the break, but I found it very shocking that there was a report on a woman who died in jail. And she died in jail because her jailers decided that when she told them she vomited and told them she needed to go to a hospital, and instead of them looking at her like a human being who needed some help, they treated her like a prisoner who needed some discipline and handed her a mop and said, "Clean up your vomit." And now she's dead. An hour later, she died. Now, what was going on in that human being who was hearing her requests and saying, "Clean up your own mess," and failing to respond to the need?
Yeah, right? Those are really, really sad stories. And those are people that live a life of a thought pattern and a narrative that does not bring a sense of well-being, peace of mind, or joy. And those are the true rudiments of having a successful life, whether it's success with your family, your friends, your loved ones, your career, your health.
And yet there is a lot of human beings who would rather experience
power,
that sense of domination over someone else instead of experiencing their own happiness, their own well-being.
Well, they don't know it's
connection.
There. They don't know.
You think it's ignorance. Ignorance
can be a pejorative term, but the true sense of the word ignorance, yeah. A lot of people aren't aware or awake to the fact that what we all strive for is a sense of well-being and peace of mind and joy, that we all want that. Most people don't stop to ever define for themselves what success is. They just think, you know, maybe it's, yeah, like being mean to prisoners or something. I don't know.
I think being mean is, in having power over others, is kind of an adrenaline or an endorphin rush, you know, for the person doing it. And that's the reward.
Well, so like, you know, just one of the common things in our culture is that people want is more.
Yeah.
And more can only ever need more. You'll never get there. More demands.
Isn't that
more.
The human condition?
Yeah, well, it's sort of like you keep moving the base. You hit a home run, but by the time you get there, you have to go to another home base.
But it's that instant gratification that you're talking about. As soon as they get a little more, they feel a little better, and then they think a little more will feel even better, but just more and more and more and more, and that's all it ever is. And the people that control other people and gives them a little bit of power or whatever, they just keep doing that same behavior. It's like when the rats, they give them the cocaine and they hit the button until they're dead. It's the same thing.
So you've got to get sick of that particular paradigm before you evolve out of it, typically, right?
Yeah. So back to the thing about controlling your thoughts.
Yeah.
First of all, people need to know that the thought is their rudder to their life. And they can put their hand on that rudder and they can guide their life where they want it to go. They need to know that first, and that is their thought process. And then they need to know that they can change their thought process. It can be done. And in my book, it's a 1-hour read and it has a 1-minute a day exercise that puts their hand firmly on that rudder and allows them to transform their life.
Hey, what's your book called again?
The book is The Well of Truth, The Secret to Living a Better Life.
So you've taken basically a lot of the classic books in this arena of how your thoughts create reality and have summarized them down to the best points, the best elements.
The how-to. Right? It's like when you're born, they don't give you...
The cliff notes.
They don't give you a user self-help guide to your mind. They don't go, hey, listen, you have the most powerful life force on earth in your head. And by the way, here's a book on how to use it correctly.
Yeah.
Because what people do is they misuse thought. They abuse thought. They have no idea. But if they did know how to use their mind and think only thoughts that would give them desirable circumstances, and that they can do it. See, the thing is people don't know they can change until they know they can change.
So catch 22.
See an example.
You know, power to change comes from the knowledge that you can change, that you can put your hand on the rudder. And all the people that read this book and do it come back to me and tell me, wow, it changed my life. Like, instantly.
So after the break, I think we should get into a few examples of how people can change their thoughts. But we are going to go right about now.
Yeah. And is there a species operating system?
And how can I get my own manual?
I'll tell you exactly how you can do that.
I thought the manual was built in.
Okay.
It's not.
All right.
Oh, darn.
Mark Hastings, local from the Santa Cruz Mountains, here on the Dr. Future Show. We're going to go to a break and we'll be right back.
Okay, welcome back to the Future Show. Yeah, we're talking with Dr. Mark Hastings on how our thoughts create our experiences of reality. He had written a book where he took everything that he knew in this field and summarized it down to like 64 pages of serious hardcore information on this topic.
Yeah, perfect for millennials or people in a hurry or people who just want the core essence of the information without having to spend all summer or 10 years of your life getting.
And you had done this initially for your stepson?
Yeah.
And then it evolved from there, right?
Yeah, it started as an inspiration to help one person, and then it just grew through the experience of going through the editing process. My editors were telling me, you got to give this to the world. It's really important information. And so I didn't really know what that looked like, but it did happen. And what it looks like is mind-blowing sometimes. It takes me, some of the testimonials that people have given me, I feel like I've got to be seated to receive them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, give us one that maybe you found really inspiring, like somebody who really crossed a mountain and came out on the other side.
Here's a simple one. I had this patient who came to see me, and she was really dejected and down and downtrodden, and she didn't understand her thinking. So I was treating her, and she said, oh, you wrote a book? I said, yeah, you should read this book, and I gave it to her. And then she left, and she was gone for a year, and the next time she called, she was really chipper and upbeat. She's like, hi, Dr. Hastings, it's so-and-so, can I get in? And I said, sure. So she came in and I said, what can I do to help you today? She goes, well, before we get started, I read your book and it saved my life. And I thought that was an exaggeration. I said, what do you mean it saved your life? And she said, the thing that you didn't know is I was a severe alcoholic and I read your book and I haven't had a drink in a year. And I thought that was fascinating because I didn't write it for that. But of course, her thinking was causing all this emotional pain, and it was leading her to self-medicate to the point where she was like literally losing her life to alcohol. And when she realized that she could change her thinking, she didn't need to self-medicate anymore. It was just not necessary.
How would you say she changed her thinking at that point? She realized that—
okay, well, that's kind of one of the big things in this book is that's different than other books is that I use daily affirmations, which I had learned from Joe Carbo.
Sure, affirmations are pretty
to look at my thought process.
Yeah.
And graduating high school, I was told that I'd be only qualified to be a garbage man. And that probably would have all come true, except I ran across this really helpful information.
Was that your shop teacher, your counselor?
No, it was the guidance counselor at Los Gatos High School.
Oh, boy.
No, I'm telling you, I'm telling you the honest truth. And
pull a practical joke on
it was her name was Mrs. Thompson. She was in her 70s. And she said, we did your test scores, and this is what you're qualified. And I remember I laughed, and she said, no, honey, it's okay. There's nothing to be ashamed of, that this is an honest profession.
And she was a true believer, huh? That was her thought process.
Yeah, so I came across these books and it transformed my life. And I went from being this really angry guy living in my car at Manresa Beach to parlay that off to getting a sales job, became very successful, and then became a dolphin and sea lion trainer for the Navy, and then became a doctor, then became a commercial pilot, and then
It's like somehow you managed to go from a life that you've described as very challenging with an alcoholic mother, a very abusive father, and yet you just didn't buy it for yourself. You just found a way out.
I found a way out, or it found me, or whatever, but at any rate, it all came down to understanding that you could change your thinking. And that your thinking was what dictated the circumstances of your life, not outside. There's car crashes and deaths and things like that. But every thought that we have creates some circumstance in our life, a physical circumstance. And your good thoughts and your ability to control that create those good circumstances that you like, that create a good feeling.
How did you initially change your thinking from thinking yourself
you
as a
just a resentful guy,
from thinking yourself as a loser living in a van by the ocean, to becoming a student of life's on your gap year before you begin your career with?
Well, that story is kind of funny too. I have a friend named Stuart. He's since passed, but we were eating at this little eatery in Kailua on Oahu, and he handed me the Optimist's Creed, which you can download off the internet. And it's like 12 sayings, like promise yourself to be the blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And they were all positive things. And he goes, dude, you need this. And I was really pissed at him. I was like, argh. But I read him and I was like, he's right. And I knew about daily affirmations. And I thought, all right, I'm going to do that. But they all literally address your thinking.
Were you a pessimist at that point?
Were you a victim?
My parents used to shoot guns at each other in the house. Yeah, I was a pessimist.
about the human condition generally.
I mean, everything was bad. Mm-hmm. Everything in my life was bad. It was so bad, I had to live out of my car to go to high school. I was very upset. My psychology was definitely affected by my upbringing. Yeah. And the only thing that was going to fix it was fixing my thinking.
Mm-hmm. Did you fix your relationship with your parents?
They're dead.
Oh, I guess you did in your own way.
That ended abruptly. When you were 16, at some point, you must have decided to take the initiative.
Well, the first thing was I needed to make money because I was having a hard time eating. And so that was when I used those first daily affirmations. And I went from making 2 sales a day to making 10 sales a day and held the number one sales position for the Chronicle and Examiner newspaper. Wow. In Las Gatos, yeah. So that was the first thing. I was like, well, okay, this works. This works. This process works to make things change. I taught it to my girlfriend, and she jumped to the second salesperson in the company for the whole entire time. And we took that money after a few months and moved to Hawaii. Wow. And then I had no dive experience, no college, no nothing. And I landed a job with the Navy training dolphins and sea lions and as a diver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so things are on an upward spiral for you.
And
there.
I was like, you know, this is working.
So what was that initial affirmation, may I ask?
The first one?
Yeah.
I make 10 sales a day.
I will make 10 sales.
No. I will. See, the thing about affirmations is they have to be crafted in the affirmative, not in the future. They're crafted in the right now.
This is true now.
This is what it is, yeah. So one of my affirmations, you're not supposed to tell them, but I think well of others. And that addressed a problem that I had had in the past where I wasn't thinking well of others all the time. And you get that immediate feedback and people feel, you know, offended by what you're thinking. And do you know the word subaudition? Do you know what that means?
No.
Subaudition means everything that is communicated outside of the spoken word. And we as beings communicate much more that way than we do by what we're saying to each other. And everybody knows, I mean, I think it's pretty widely known that, you know, you walk into a bank and everybody's thinking those thoughts and we all pick up on it. Mm-hmm. And so, well, what changes? Well, you can change the way that you're thinking. And when you start thinking well of other people, they in turn think well of you.
Sure. Monkey see, monkey do, huh?
Yeah. You're driving your reality. There it is. You're driving your reality. So we had talked when I first met you. Well, no, we didn't talk about this, but I know that you're aware of this, that they have proven that the observer affects reality, like in subatomic particles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's the act of thinking is changing reality all the time. And we're all constantly changing each other's reality and our reality all the time. But when you get your hand on the rudder, then you can start to craft reality the way that you want it to go. I do it. And all the people that come back to me and write my reviews do it. And lots of people do it all around the world. And there's different Tony Robbins and all these other people that teach it. It's not information that hasn't been taught before. Mm-hmm. This is just taught in 70 pages. That's all.
Okay, so if we look at the analogy of the rudder, when you're steering the rudder, you change the rudder, you actually see the ship move a little differently.
Right.
So what's your feedback when you adjust your mental rudder? How do you know it's working? Does it work right away?
Yes. That's the crazy thing is that when you adjust, when you make these corrections to your thinking, your life doesn't change slowly over time. It changes radically. Like how I went from 2 sales a day to 10 sales a day in one day and never fell back. Never one time did I fall below 10. Hmm. And neither did my girlfriend, Julie. She held the same as I did. I have one of my favorite patients who I won't name on the air. Her life was trash. I mean, just trash. She had terrible kids. She was a single mother. She worked at a dead-end job. She had a health challenge that was dogging her. And she read the book, and she came back a week later, and she had landed a new boyfriend. Her kids had moved out of state. They were giving her a terrible time. Boom, it changed for her.
So is there a mystical quality to this, or is it really just coming from the
science,
way that you personally are engaging with every moment?
I love that question. Of course, there's a mystical quality to it because there is a divine order to the universe, and it is to do good and to help other people and think well of other people. It's literally the word of God, and people choose a different path. No, I want to screw this person out of their money. I want to think poor. I want to abuse this person because they threw up in the cell. That's the human nature, is to go against the mystical quality, as you put it. Mm-hmm. But when we get on to that purpose of doing what we were designed to do, to think good thoughts, do good deeds, serve others, yeah, life, it gets real easy. Mm-hmm. It gets real, real easy. And everything flows.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So, what about moods? People have bad moods. Moods seem to generate thoughts like a tuning fork.
Yeah, you know, that's right? Alan, that is such a good question. But what if you could gain control of the way that you think about your circumstances and gain control of your moods? Because people always say, like, they call me a Pollyanna. They're like, you're never down. You're never in a bad mood.
He's such a good happy
It's like,
guy.
Well, yeah. You know, well, why would I be? Yeah. I mean, I only got like so many days in this life. Why would I want to waste any of it on a bad mood? I don't have that luxury.
So at this point, you've programmed your system out of bad moods.
Huh? I haven't had a bad, you talk to my wife.
Okay.
All right, well, how about if we talk to her after the break? Just giving you a little 30-second warning.
Is that true? Does he never have a bad mood? Call and give us a call.
Yeah, Lori, call in and tell him about chainsaws.
Okay, 831-479-1080, Dr. Future Show with our guest, Mark Hastings, and the Well of Truth.
Dr. Mark Hastings talking about how we create reality with our thoughts and where can we take this? Is this a superpower that perhaps we have yet to fully realize as a species?
Well, we are realizing, like when you look at some of the really radical advancements that we're making in technology and science, I mean, that is the power of the mind creating all of that. That's fantastic that we can create all this incredible technology to help us and cars that drive themselves and all these things and going to the moon and beyond. But what if we realize that those same minds have the power to create joy and peace in their own life, beauty in their own life, a perfectly happy life?
So you could be a happy scientist or a happy politician. Well, is there such a thing? A lot of the shows on this station, as you know, are politically oriented.
Right.
How do you see this type of knowledge getting imbued into, say, the talk radio world?
Well, you know, it's really funny. Dave and I had touched on that a couple shows ago where he had asked me about that very thing. And I told him, you know, Dave, I love to be wrong. And he said, and he said, what? What do you mean by that? And I said, well, every time I'm wrong, I get closer to the truth. And I listen to both sides of the political argument on this station.
Democrats and Republicans.
Right, yeah. And when I listen to them, like Ethan Behrman and Rush Limbaugh, you know, and it's like, wow, they both sound right. You know, that's interesting. And then I started going, have you ever noticed how everybody is right? Everybody is always right.
Now, what's going on with that?
Well, that's the thing. So when we're watching this political debate, what I hear people saying is, I'm right. No, I'm right. No, I'm right. And I'd like to just be wrong. And so I listen to both sides. And I think that the truth of the matter is there isn't a complete left or a complete right, that everything is somewhere in the middle. This crazy president, well, he's going to do some good stuff and some bad stuff, like they all do. Mm-hmm. But if you want to be right, well, then go ahead.
Well, there's a certain almost human need to be.
Yeah, we call it a right-gasm. Right? Yeah. Have your right-gasm. Yeah,
well, I'm having a wrong-gasm, and I love it. It feels great.
You get off on being wrong, do you?
Yeah, well every time I'm wrong, I get closer to the truth, right?
Yeah, I like that feeling, too. The way I describe it is that as long as you're always making new mistakes, not the same ones over over again, then you're learning, growing. It's a good thing.
You're right. That's great. That's well said. Yeah, because the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, right?
Right.
So what do you think the affirmations should be private? Wouldn't your friends, wouldn't that be helpful if they were supporting you in your affirmations?
When I read about them, Joe Carbo had said that the person that had taught him the secret said never share them because they just lose their power. They don't work.
It's like your secret mantra?
I guess. I don't know. But
that sounds like an optional belief, though.
Well, it might be, but I've always followed it because it's worked to transform my life in every way. Everything I've ever wanted and more. And I did it through the use of this system, that it did work. And so why would I go against just for the sake of checking it out? And
if
maybe
it broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, if it's not broke, don't fix it. There you go. But I use them to mostly address thinking, where I think most people use them to address getting stuff, getting houses and, you know, pretty.
That's a very important distinction because so much of the self-help literature does focus on get rich or get your way in the world, and it doesn't talk about what's going on at your human being level.
Well, you know, that's exactly it, is you can be super rich, but if your wife left you and your kids won't talk to you and you're 350 pounds with high blood pressure and people hate your guts, that isn't peace of mind in a sense of well-being and joy. Mm. That's living a life of wretchedness with a whole bunch of money. So one of my favorite chapters in this is the chapter on success. And I asked my patients for years, what is success? And they would kind of just blink at me like, well, I don't know. And that's how I originally formulated this title, The Well of Truth. It was a little teeny piece of paper in my office, which explained to people that it's not what success is, but where is it? In your relationships, in your love, in your health.
Level of happiness.
You know, in your career. It's all over your life. And where do you want to be successful?
Yeah. True, true. I can see that. But what about the relationship between your thoughts and disease, then the body, the mind-body connection? Is there a direct relationship or what? If you have a disease, should you reflect on maybe how you might have created it?
I don't have a crystal ball, but I've been a doctor for 23 years, and I've always said that if anybody tells you they know anything about health, they're lying. Life is wily. Like Jim Fix, he was the runner, died of a heart attack. We all know the stories.
Yeah.
The most healthiest person in the world. Somebody just told me today, somebody in their family, one of my patients told me today that their super healthy aunt got lung cancer, never smoked. She was a runner, the whole thing. But there is a relationship between thought and health. For sure there is. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And like, for instance, I use daily affirmations in my thought to help me be healthy. You can see me. You guys are looking at me. I look healthy, right?
Yeah. Huh?
Well, that's directly due to what I think.
Focusing on every day on your affirmations of health.
And also just thinking about health, thinking about my health, yeah. But does that mean I'm never going to get a disease and die? Well, you know, you can't say those kind of things. I don't know.
Yeah, there's
That's the future. I don't know. You would know more about that than me.
There's a quality of thought that I consider when you're talking about in a social arena where a person feels victimized. And there's a lot of people who feel that if you're telling them to just take charge, that you're not acknowledging the real things that created that sense of feeling victimized. And it's like blaming the victim. And so how do you address that kind of situation where a person needs to be heard and validated because of their experience in order to go from there?
Well, I don't want to sound like I'm coming from an uncaring place, but that's their choice. It's not their need. You can choose what you think, and what you think is your reality, period. And if you have this narrative that you run over and over and over again, why people mistreated you and why bad things happened to you and why life is not where you want it to be, you're not putting your hand on the rudder. You're just letting life steer you along.
So let me give you an inverse of this same example. We have a president who is very famous for doubling down and never admitting he's wrong and even joking about never admitting he's wrong. And a lot of his actual success is coming from the fact that he never admits he's wrong. And yet that turns him into somebody who's sometimes a liar because he will change his mind later if it suits him. And that's kind of the same thing in inverse, because instead of a person saying you're blaming the victim, what you have is a succeeder who's taking all the credit all the time, but only for what he's thinking about right now.
Certainly say that he's goal-oriented.
Yeah. But you see the problem with that in terms of people being able to come together. You know?
Well, but it starts, it's like Michael Jackson's song, starting with the man in the mirror. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do about it? We can sit here and talk about the dynamic of society that we have no control over, but the one thing we do have control over is our thought and what we're doing and how we affect the world. Like, so I took command of my thinking, and then it's starting to affect my community.
Because that's really the only place you can really affect is your own consciousness.
Yeah, right. And so what are you bringing to the party?
Share that.
Yeah, right? You know what? You're bringing a bunch of misery and suffering and complaining and self-wallowing. And how is that going to get anything to anybody that's going to help them to have the things that they want in their life?
To me, this is a question of leadership, okay? When you take responsibility for yourself, that is a really huge first step in health. But when you are trying to take steps in the direction for the good of all. If you only stop with yourself, then you've got the winner-loser syndrome, which is the problem. If you don't have the leadership to get people who aren't maybe capable of totally taking responsibility for themselves into the conversation, unless they somehow become self-empowered, then you have a society that has a whole bunch of people who can't solve their own problems and no mechanism for dealing with it.
Well, that's social debate, and I agree with what you're saying entirely. But what I'm saying is, as one person, what can you do to help those around you? Everything starts with a grassroots movement. Everything.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I was wondering, when was the last time you ever thought of yourself as a victim?
It's been a long time. Last week.
It's been since last week.
We had this situation where we lost our inheritance from one of the family members that came to steal it. And they were successful, and they did. And it was, you know, like a very large sum of money. And I didn't think of myself as a victim. I thought, wow, I was wholly ignorant to the law. And that's the lesson here, is that don't be ignorant to the law, because that's my fault.
Oh.
But most people would have looked at that in a really different way. But if I did, how is that going to help me today?
Mm-hmm.
How does that help?
So you would instead just take each time there's a defeat as a learning experience.
Opportunity.
Yeah, if it's not fun, it's a lesson, I say. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so that's the thing about, yeah, if you love being wrong, then you get closer to a brighter truth.
Mm.
That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the truth, and that's what it's all about.
Oh, that's pretty interesting. Mm. All right, well, I'm curious, this loving being wrong, it must have a counterpart of how that helps you not be wrong again.
Would you agree that we all want to arrive at the highest possible truth?
Well, I look around this room, I'd say that's probably true.
Would you also agree?
I think some people are not necessarily going this direction because they have a different end goal in mind.
But would you also agree that any time that you realize that you really were wrong about a certain thing, that then you got closer to a higher truth?
Yeah, well, being able to admit your mistakes does make you a more whole and intelligent person.
That's right. Yeah, and right. And so intelligence and knowledge is power, and it's the power to create the things in your life that you want, right?
I would hope so, but I do have reservations about the whole relationship of people who take responsibility and then they become the target of blame. So let's talk about that when we come back.
Don't be afraid to give us a call. 831-479-1080. Thank
you. All right.
You,
Dr. Future Show. We'll be back.
Welcome back to the Future Show. Yes, we're talking about creating reality consciously with our thoughts, and we're deeply into the conversation with Mark Hastings, a chiropractor who's also written a new book called The Well of Truth, The Secret of Living a Better Life, all about how you think. Okay, and during the break, Mrs. Future and Mark were deeply engaged in a conversation.
Conversations about how when you try to take responsibility for your own thoughts and your own reality includes the fact that if you take the blame, there's somebody out there willing to use it against you, right? That's kind of the point I was trying to talk about. And you had a great response to that.
Yeah, was my response to you was, when you take responsibility of fixing yourself and becoming a good person that does good things by thinking good thoughts, you reap the reward, but you also change those around you, that they learn through example. And in my specific case, not only did I do that, fix my own thinking and fix my own life, I decided to use it to fix my stepson's life. But then I wrote a book that affected many, 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 many people. And now I have a huge group of people that are affecting people around them. And it's about doing the right thing through thinking the right thoughts. It starts in every individual. I'm trying to bring awareness to that, to the community, and to the world. And as you've pointed out, the world is in a screwed up place. And I'm literally trying to fix the world. But by teaching people, the most powerful force on earth is the human mind. Your human mind. My human mind. We all have the power to do wonderful and beautiful things to help humanity. We also all have the power to do horrible acts of atrocity against humanity and even worse against ourselves. And it's so sad.
So what do you do when you have a strong negative thought? Do you process it?
Well, first of all, that's what I've been trying to say the whole entire hour is, first, you have to know that you can change. And you have to know that your thoughts are creating your perception of reality.
You audit your own narrative. You pay attention to your narrative.
Yeah. You learn how to look at the cause and effect relationship of your thoughts. Hmm. That every thought that you're thinking, whether it's secret or not, goes forward in the world of circumstance to create its own kind. Your good thoughts produce desirable circumstances that you'll enjoy, that'll bring you peace of mind, sense of well-being, happiness, joy. Your thoughts that aren't that go forward and create undesirable circumstances that are very challenging.
Like physical disease?
Physical disease, or my most common is dramatic relationships with others.
Drama queens.
Drama. Yeah. Like I listen to people tell you, oh, my wife and my husband, they're the worst and blah, blah. They live in those lives. And it goes on and on and on and on until one of them decides to change their thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And how about seeing the way other people think? Does that help being able to step in someone else's shoes? And
of course, that's empathy. Absolutely. Like I used to look at like...
if you don't agree with them?
I used to look at really overweight people. Yeah. This goes back to a long time ago when I was younger. And I'd be like, wow, look at that. That person is, you know, they're not taking care of their health and, you know, all these things. And one day I looked at that person and I said, you know what? They don't want to look like that. they don't want to look like that. They don't want that for themselves. But they're trapped. They don't know that they have the power to change their life. They don't know. And if they did, they wouldn't. But they don't know how. Really, that's what it all comes down to, is a lot of people just don't know how to affect the changes in their life that they want.
Not something that's really taught in the schools.
No, but it should be. When I wrote this book, I told my wife, they should teach this in grade school. This should be taught in school to every kid that, look, you are going to create your own life, that we all are responsible for our own life, not somebody else.
It's just that the legal system and all this is based on blame and justification and covering your track. I mean, all these things are rewarded. So we get a lot of mixed signals.
All of those are titles to the chapters in this book. If you ever read this book, you're gonna be surprised.
I look forward to seeing
it. You're gonna be surprised. There's a chapter on justification. There's a chapter on judgmentalism. And earlier to your point, there's a chapter on garbage in, garbage out, all the stuff that people put in their heads. Mm-hmm. They think it's not going to affect them. Like they go home at night and watch shoot 'em up movies all night long, listen to the news about all these shooter people running around shooting each other. All of a sudden they have a gun in their hand and they're on top of a building. It has an effect in the real world. They're misusing their thought. They're allowing the misuse of their very own thought. And what's going to happen? Well, gee, I wonder, how did you end up with that gun in your hand? Gee, I wonder. You know, so my great friend Rich, who's listening right now, he's the best person in the world. He told me about a prison and it had a plaque on the wall and it said, "Your best thinking got you here."
In his prison cell.
It was in this prison, you know, somewhere, and it said that. And that's the truth, is that the best thinking that those people had to their advantage at that moment was to go shoot somebody or steal from them or whatever they were doing. But in their mind, they thought they were doing the right thing.
Okay. These ideas that you're talking about, they've been around a few generations now. The lazy man, way to riches, think and grow rich. But why isn't it more adopted at this point?
I don't have the answer to that question. I just know that I want to help the world. I want to help as many people as I can. I want to teach it.
Just keep getting this information.
Yeah, like anytime I go on TV, on the radio, speaking engagements, podcasts, whatever I can do
to get it out there,
to get this information out, because I see it work in people's lives every week. People come and tell testimonies every week. Yeah, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, we got a caller in line.
Let's say hello. We have an unscreened caller. Hi, welcome to the show. What's your name?
James from Bonnie Doon.
All right, James.
Hey, James. Got a question.
So there's nuts and bolts science behind consciousness and your reality too. Very recently in the double slit experiments is what's called delayed choice and quantum reversal experiments. And Dean Radin, who's the lead scientist at Noetic Institute.
Yeah, I just had dinner with him recently.
He endorsed a school that I teach at. I teach cosmology and I teach conceptual quantum physics at the Gray School of Wizardry. It's online. You have thousands of students all over the world.
Cool. We're
like a finishing school for know-it-alls. Dean Radin has endorsed our school repeatedly. We have him on the cover of the website. But, he's doing experiments that show people's consciousness can collapse the probability field. And he was published in Arbex Journal. And then they retracted it. First time in the history of Arbex, they retracted it without an explanation.
So, James, it sounds like you are in concurrence with Mark Hastings.
Do you have any questions for him?
Absolutely.
Create reality.
Absolutely.
Great. No question. Yes. Yeah.
Well, thanks for the call.
No question. I'm just saying,
That's fantastic.
Just confirmation.
Yeah. Thank you for the call. That's wonderful.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, I can't wait to check out your website too there, James. Sounds really fun.
Well, take a look at the Gray School of Wizardry and then give me a call. I'm Dean of Faculty. Later.
Wow. Wow. That's impressive.
Thank you, James.
What a fantastic call.
Yeah. Dean Radin's an interesting guy too.
Hey, listen, we only have 5 minutes left. I want to tell people where they can get the book because I made a special offer, okay?
Sure.
If folks go to The Well of Truth, www.thewelloftruth.com, I have a special promo code for your audience today where the book normally retails for about $20. We're going to give it away for the next 48 hours at about half price. This book will give you the knowledge to transform your life, to put your hand on the rudder and to start to steer your life towards the things that you want in your life, the things that make you feel happy and feel to be a better person. So again, we have a special KSCO promo. Go to www.thewelloftruth.com. And we're available on Amazon and Kindle and iBook and Bookshop Santa Cruz. And if you drop by my office, I'll shake your hand and sign a copy directly to you. And if you become a patient of mine in the next 48 hours, I will give you the book for free.
All right.
Thank you so much, you guys.
Such a deal.
Is there a
way in which people can reach you via email?
Yeah. If they go to the Well of Truth, they can email me there. And my wife and I actually literally respond to every email ourselves. We fulfill a lot of the book orders ourselves. It's been fantastic. People have been coming by after these shows, and a lady Friday bought 10 books.
Wow.
And I sat there and signed them over to her. It's just so fun. And I've met so many wonderful people from this radio program because of all of this.
Are you planning to do another book on this? Or,
well, we're going to do products. We're going to do an online course or a DVD series. Because the thing is that the books are great, but people kind of are going to information in another way. If people go...
YouTube movies.
This is cool. I would love you guys to do this. If you go to YouTube and you type in, quote unquote, the thought doctor, I'm going to do 44 weeks of 3 to 5 minute videos illustrating the stories of the book and a lot of the stuff that we're talking about today.
Your Redwood Forest Sojourns.
It's a walk in the forest with Mark that my wife and I recorded a couple weeks back. We have 44 weeks and we're going to be putting up weekly videos. They'll be up every single week. And if the folks subscribe to the channel, they'll get a little notification in their email that there's a new video. And it was a super fun project.
Mm. Oh, one other thing. You're also a chiropractor.
Right.
Right. So how do you combine your thinking with chiropractic?
The thing about chiropractors is we work with our patients. They come in sometimes 2 or 3 times a week during the initial injuries. And you find out right away that we're chiropractors. We believe in holistic health, the whole person. Mm. And if their mind is clouded and full of problems, that it's very hard for their physical bodies to heal. And so we have to help them that way too. We have to help them in every way. Mm-hmm. You know, in every way that they're available to help, we need to help them on every front of their life. Mm-hmm. It's not just their back or their elbow or their wrist. They're a person, you know, it's the whole person.
So you help them with the whole way of thinking, the mindset.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yes, absolutely. Yeah. I look at the person, not the part.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, very good.
So if you were to recommend a future affirmation for the people here in the studio, a thought for the day or something that we could put into our daily mantra.
As Dave starts his show.
Yeah.
Just one affirmation.
Or whatever you think. Just a little quick inspiration.
Yeah, what can the radio be useful for in
this? How can we end this day with a little upbeat affirmation?
I have the power to change my thoughts.
Great. All right. Mark Hastings, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I had a wonderful time today.
Yeah, I'm so glad you could make it.
Me too.
Great to say, and we look forward to more shows in the future.
Wow, that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
I hope you mean that sincerely.
Yeah, we'll keep in touch.
Okay, great. All right. Thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, thanks again. And that's another week in the can. Thank you so much for spending your time with us. And we look forward to next week before we take off for Europe for a little bit. This is Future, and I will be gone for a week, but we'll be back after that.
After the Berlin Marathon.
That's it.
In the meantime, thanks for listening to KSCO.